This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Matt Steinmetz and the Guru.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour one in the books. Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we're with you on a Sunday afternoon. And Bernadette Peters, the movie was The Jerk with Steve Martin. Remember that?
Yeah. I've been called
that. It was kind of a funny movie. Very dated, though. I think the movie The Jerk, I think if we watched that today, it wouldn't be as funny.
Steve Martin.
There were some funny scenes in that.
And we didn't know any better, so it was what it was. You know, Rodney Dangerfield, that was his head. You know, he wouldn't make it today.
The text line's coming up with some good old and just terrific actresses from back in the day. Bo Derek, of course, has now been brought up.
When she had the braids, Matt.
When she was running on the beach. Did you? So you saw it? You snuck into the theater to see 10?
Yeah,
so did I. I did that too.
I had to get through there.
Barbara Eden of I Dream and
I had
Dream
a crush
Genie
on her.
Yeah, she didn't do it for
Larry
me.
No,
I Dream of Genie didn't do it for me.
Maybe it was her outfit. You know, she was out the gypsy thing. And
yeah, you know, a lot of women didn't like that show.
She kept
him in a bottle. Yeah. She called him master. I mean, that's not exactly a picture of an independent woman. Anyway, Golden State Warriors tomorrow playing the Cleveland Cavaliers at Oracle Arena. It's a 5 o'clock start. Coverage will start here at 95.7 The Game at 3:30. And I'm going to go ahead and plug another show from 12 to 3. We will be broadcasting from Oracle Arena. It'll be Bonte Hill and myself, and we will get you all ready for the Golden State Warriors against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Bill Livingston. He's a sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and he's all over what the Cavs are up to and their chances tomorrow. What do you think's coming down tomorrow with this game? I mean, I'll tell you what I think's going to happen.
Go ahead.
I think the Warriors are going to win the game, and I think they're going to win it solidly. Not a blowout, but I think it's going to be a 110-98 game, something like that.
I thought that was going to happen Christmas, and I thought the reason was that you blew a 3-1 lead to this team. You hate hearing their name. They took something that was rightfully yours. You went and got Kevin Durant, and it didn't manifest into that, Matt. So as much sense as it makes to say the Warriors are at home, they're going to knock off their nemesis, I'm telling you, it will leave a bad taste in my mouth and Warrior Nation. Can I call it Warrior Nation? If Cleveland gets out of here with a win. At the end of a trip, which you pointed out.
Right.
Don't forget about that.
Right. Cleveland's not playing that great
right now either.
They were toying
with the Kings, but you're right.
Well, I wonder how much the Cavs are going to put into this game. See, the one thing about the Cavs is they kind of know when to pull the plug. Mm. If they come in here tomorrow and the Warriors are in control, and the next thing you know, it's a third quarter and it's an 18-20-point game, the Cavs, they're thinking big picture. I think they think they're better than the Warriors. So if they get blown out tomorrow, I don't even think they'll be fazed by it. Now, the problem is if the Cavs come in here and beat the Warriors, then I think the Warriors have a problem. But can you imagine if the Cavs come in here tomorrow, beat the Warriors, and then what happens the next 3 months? Then the Warriors, on Wednesday, they beat Oklahoma City. So what? Then they go to Houston, and they beat Houston. People be like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Can't beat Cleveland.
So what
June? Yeah. So they're not going to be able to accomplish anything, really, from tomorrow on, if you look at it that way.
It's very peculiar that that's at stake, Matt, because that you're right. We can go through the motions. You'll do your show, you know? But it's like, man, we really won't know until they get to face Cleveland again.
From the 925, the Dubs have zero to prove until the playoffs. I don't know.
I guess I mean, what he's saying is
even
you
if
can't
they lose,
prove
it's
anything.
Not gonna, yeah,
okay.
He's right. I mean,
you
even if they
go
lose,
get the ring.
Yeah, even if they lose, that's true. Like what he's saying is even if the Warriors win tomorrow, it doesn't prove anything. That's what I think he's saying, and I think he's right.
Matt, can I just say this?
Yeah.
The Warrior bench
you
has
worried?
Not gotten better, and I'm not saying it's gotten worse. It is very devoid of talent, man. This has to be an issue. I'm thinking there's going to be a juggle or a shuffle. Something's going to have to happen. This used to be the backbone of this team, and it's not now, Matt. And these guys out there, the same, I'm telling you, their leads are growing when the same, and naturally so, but they were so good in years past to where their lead would actually get greater
right.
when some of the
yeah.
starters came out. And who yeah. could, man, it, I think it's a problem, and that's why Bob Myers and company, I'm just wondering if they got a trick up their sleeve. Or Mr. Damian Jones, who has that girth we speak of.
No,
is yet
he's
to,
skinny.
But he's a big skinny, though, Matt. He's,
yeah, he's big.
He takes up some space.
I don't think you can
when
count on
see
him,
him
this year. I don't think you can count
see,
on
that's,
him.
That's a bad draft.
I just don't think
man.
You can count on him.
You needed firepower now.
Let's go to Danny in Cloverdale. Danny's got some movie knowledge. What's up, Danny?
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. We're having fun here on a Sunday.
Well, yeah, I know. I heard after I was put on hold and I remembered, I actually got my movie knowledge wrong. It wasn't, I thought you were referring to Blazing Saddles.
That's what
it was. I don't know if it was Blazing Saddles or could have been Stir Crazy.
Yeah, I think it was Blazing Saddles is the movie I'm remembering. She may have been in both because she was one of, Bernadette Peters was one of those women who'd surface in, do you have a particular favorite? I mean, we're just throwing around Adrienne Barbeau, Joan Collins, Linda Evans. Did you have a favorite from back in the day?
You know what? What's funny is Joan Collins, she did have a hot factor back in the 80s, but because my mom was even a huge nut movie nut than, you know, her Bad Blood and what she would remember Joan Collins as. I don't know. I can't really pinpoint a favorite because there are a lot of good ones. But can I also mention something about this whole topic with Brady and Montana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm a huge, huge Redskins fan. So I really can care less, but I'm also a football nut. There is no comparison when you have Joe Montana and Tom Brady. Joe Montana, he did it 5 times. Tom Brady, you know what? He's getting there, but to say that Tom Brady is on the cusp of trumping what Joe Montana did, I don't know, man. For so long that he did it.
All right. Well, it's a good discussion. Thanks for the call, Danny. Appreciate it. Montana was 4-0.
Yeah.
Steve Young won
and
that
And I'm
going to
think
one.
The discussion just ended. This is why you love the text line sometimes. Brady, Montana didn't have to cheat like Brady did.
Nah,
you didn't like that, huh?
Nah, man.
Hey, somebody from on Twitter hit me.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Heather Thomas.
Oh, from this with the car.
Yeah, the
but
tourist cancer.
I mean, I'd rather. I you know what? I'll trade you Heather Thomas for Heather Locklear.
Oh yeah, Heather's yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Let's go to Paul in Oakland. Paul, what's going on, man?
You guys are on fire today, man. You're killing it. It's so fun.
cool.
All over, like all the analysis is hot. But let me just say one thing about the Warriors, kind of to what you were talking about earlier. I don't think we've seen or we will see tomorrow or maybe even before the All-Star break. I don't think we've seen what we're going to be able to do and not do yet. I just think there's so much experimentation going on. I do trust Kerr when he says that. I think we've got really a great brain trust, not just with our coaching staff, the great Ron Adams from Fresno State and Mike and Q and that whole thing, but also the organization is so strong. They're going to figure this thing out and get the most they can get from this team. And I don't think we've seen that. I think we've seen a lot of figuring out and a lot of different matchups and different things coming off the bench. And I think Carl figured it out. And I think, you know, think about Andre Iguodala when he first came to us. Mark Jackson was the coach. He used him the way that you'd expect him to be used. And then you get somebody like Steve Kerr seeing what Andre can do and more of what he can do. And the guy ends up being the finals MVP. And I think, you know, when we talk about kind of some toughness and some of that we're going to need, Don't sleep on David West. I've been wanting that guy for 5 years. Never thought we'd be good enough to get a guy like that, you know, 5 years ago. And then, you know, something like now is possible. So I think we'll see some things emerge. We'll see some different matchups. And I'm feeling confident about that. And then the last point I want to make, because Guru brought it up, that guy from Fox News, man, that kid was a clown. I think he was on Damon when he was bringing up the thing about Iguodala, and that was some interesting analysis. But when they were talking about Draymond, he said, oh, I don't like him. And Damon says, why don't you like him? And his whole point, it was like a little kid on the playground, man. It was like Sean Hannity from Fox News instead of a Fox analysis.
Wow, yeah. Nick Wright.
His whole point was like, oh, he's like Grayson Allen. He just kicks guys in the ball, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was all he had to say about why he didn't like Draymond. No smart analysis at all about what Draymond's strengths are and weaknesses are. And, man, I wanted to reach through my car radio and just grab that bro by the neck.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Paul. I think whenever you're talking about Draymond Green, if you want to bring up his behavior and his attitude and the fact that he may be a problem, I think that's fair. But I think you also have to bring up that he's one of the best defensive players
in the
league, that he's a tremendous passer, and that he is vital.
And gives you 110%.
Madeline Kahn was Blazing Saddles. And you know what's funny? Somebody says that on the text line. I'm like, ah, that's right. It was Madeline Kahn,
and
not Bernadette
Michael
Peters.
Irvin texts both of us. You haven't seen it because you're focused on the show.
I leave my
Markie
phone.
Markie Post from Night Court.
Yeah, that's in a little newer era. Okay. But let me tell you something about Markie Post.
She could get, yeah.
I had a soft spot for her, too. Keep in mind, we're talking about these women as actresses right now.
What about Raquel Welch?
Actresses. And their talent. Yeah, we forgot Raquel Welch, one of the originals.
Jim Brown.
Who?
He left football and did a little movie with her. Remember the movie with Raquel? Remember? Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow.
Linda Carter.
Yeah, that's my one.
I follow Linda Carter online on Twitter, too.
They got a new
Linda
Wonder
Carter.
Woman coming out.
Yeah,
and I got more. Matt, when you see this outfit, you won't be no.
I saw the outfit. Like, it's not going to be better than the original.
Oh, no, Matt. And this girl they have playing, I forget her name, I'm in. I wanted that movie. I wanted to forget my movie, just throw them Wonder Woman on. And, you know, I was with the wife. I was excited. But, Matt, I cannot wait. That outfit. It's one of the greatest outfits.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear that we are definitely, you know, we're just bringing
skills.
In actresses from back in the day, kind of when Guru and I were growing up, and just some actresses that caught our eye with their talent, their ability to deliver a line, stage presence, huge part of this discussion. And another, you want to talk about somebody who's an elevated actress, Pam Grier.
I was just
Pam Grier coming in over the text line.
Wow, man. That was
Pam Grier. What's the movie? She came back. Foxy Brown. Was it Foxy Brown?
Oh, that was
it. It was like kind of a rebirth.
Like fine wine even then to me.
Yeah. She'd gotten a lot. Yeah.
And I see her.
She had not lost any of her acting skills.
Oh, man.
By that point. Let's go to Ro in San Francisco. Ro, you're always signing to Guru. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
Doing well.
Look, I just want to touch on the Dubs a little bit, man. I don't know how you guys think that. I'm a big Dubs fan, but I don't know how you guys think that Memphis is not going to be a problem moving forward. I mean, they got all the ingredients that the Warriors struggle with. That front court. I mean, Conley can you know what he can do. I mean, I'm a little concerned.
Well, they
were
up 24 on Memphis. I know they came back, but to get out that that far in front, you know, would lead me to believe that maybe Memphis doesn't scare them. But I'm with you, Matt. Just they do pose a threat to the Warriors because they have big men and the Warriors don't.
Yeah. Hey, Ro, good. Yeah.
OKC did last year, don't you think?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ro. Appreciate it. We just haven't talked about Memphis today.
No, KD or Westbrook on Memphis right now.
Yeah, I wasn't dismissing Memphis. We just hadn't talked about them. And, I mean, if truth be told.
They are.
Of the two games the Warriors lost, the Cavaliers game on Christmas and the Memphis game after that, the Memphis game to me was more alarming. Now, I know the Warriors blew a 14-point lead with 9 minutes to go, but the way Memphis came back and just dominated the Warriors physically, and the fact that when they had Gasol and Zach Randolph on the floor, Durant couldn't guard one of them because they were playing on the interior, that was scary.
And
to me. Not only that, Tony Allen is physical.
And done.
I agree.
Miss, and they were clearing that rebound, Matt. And I was like, uh-oh.
That's what I worry about is like Memphis's physicality can really bother the Golden State Warriors, who are a finesse team, and they tend to be, you know, a little bit, I'm telling, they're skinny. The Warriors can be a skinny team. All right, joining us right now is Bill Livingston. He's a sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You can follow him on Twitter, at Livy, L-I-V-Y, 70. How you doing, Bill? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing just fine.
Just real quick, some of your impressions about what's going to happen tomorrow here at Oracle. Do you think it's a bigger game for the Warriors than the Cavs simply because the Cavs are working on four straight wins against Golden State?
Well, I think it's a big game for the Cavs, too, because they're going through kind of a tough patch right now. They're trying to fit in Kyle Korver, and they've been without J.R. Smith for a long time since he broke his thumb. They haven't really been playing all that well on this long road trip. This is the last game. I don't think they did themselves any favors with all the things that have leaked out about the Halloween party and the trolling of the Warriors. But I also think it's a big game for the Warriors because they have to prove they can beat this team. And,
right.
And I know they can. But, you know, they gave away the game here. I can't remember the stat. It was a really eye-popping stat the last time they had lost a 14-point fourth-quarter lead and lost the game. But
well, then
a couple of hundred games, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, and then they did it about 10 days later against Memphis
right.
when Memphis came
right.
back. Let me ask you about LeBron James. Quietly been in the league now for a while. Where do you think he is in terms of the arc of his career? Is he still in his prime? Do you think he's starting the decline? Do you think he's 90% of when he was at his peak in terms of athleticism and on top of his game? Where is he right now, do you think?
Well, he has to rest more, and they, you know, he doesn't play in the second of back-to-back sometimes. They've been trying to spot that in. They feel that the Warriors made a mistake by going for 73 and that it told on them in the playoffs, and I think that's probably indisputable. You know, they're not going to make that mistake, and I don't think they could. They're not the way they're playing now. They couldn't win 70 games anyway. But you know, it comes down to how you play in the playoffs. And I've always remembered the great quote by Doc Rivers. He always hated to play in the seventh game when the other team had the best player. Well, that's what you saw last year, despite the Steph Curry fascination and idolization nationwide. The best player on the floor was LeBron James, and he's still one of the best. I mean, he's in the top five, maybe in the top three with Westbrook and Harden. The way, you know, LeBron talked about he wanted to get Kyrie Irving MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that's going to happen. When Irving was here by himself before James, the Cavs were terrible. And, you know, he didn't win until LeBron came. LeBron's the guy who makes everybody better because he's such a willing passer and such a multifaceted weapon. I still think he's, you know, more magic than Michael Jordan, but a blend of the two, probably the likes of which we've never seen, a linebacker-sized guy with all that quickness and stamina.
Bill, talk to me about J.R. Smith, because I feel like he's one of the underappreciated guys in the league, and I know, you know, there's some antics where he's been or whatnot, but how has the team reacted to his loss? I got to catch him up in Sacramento on Friday night, and I'm wondering now, you know, you dropped a couple games, no big deal, but are they missing JR at all?
I think they are. I think for a lot of reasons, not just his three-point shooting. He's a pretty good defender. He's certainly a willing defender. And he was the unsung hero of the block that's going to be the most remembered play at this point of LeBron's career probably ever, because he made Iguodala change his shot and kind of double pump it on that fast break layup, and it gave LeBron time to get there. And he hit, you know, scored eight straight points early in the third quarter when they were down seven at halftime and looked like it was on the verge of getting out of hand in game seven. He's been a much better all-around player than I'd heard he was, and he's been a good boy off the court here too, and there haven't been any of those antics or anything like that. You know, they'll have to work him back in. He's an important part of the playoffs for them. He'll be back before the playoffs start, but it'll take a while to get the rust off.
Bill, one of the reasons, and we're joined by Bill Livingston, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. One of the things I think that the Cavaliers have going for them when they play the Golden State Warriors is the fact that The Warriors' ace in the hole a lot of times is their small lineup. When they go with Draymond Green at center and Durant at power forward, it was Harrison Barnes last year. But when the Warriors go small and Cleveland plays Tristan Thompson at five and LeBron at four, that advantage goes away because Tristan Thompson can, well, while he may have a challenge at the defensive end, guarding maybe a three-point shooter, he can make the Warriors pay on the interior with second shots,
right,
and with rim protection.
They beat him to death on the boards in Game 7. And,
right.
You know, I think Thompson is pretty good for a big man out there on the perimeter. Now, Love was just transcendental, that one stop he had on Steph Curry, making him take a bad shot after having to guard him one-on-one for, I think it was 10 seconds total. But Tristan's not bad. I remember the year they lost to the Warriors in the finals. They lost on a three-pointer at the buzzer by Derrick Rose, and there was nothing Tristan – he had him out there on the arc. There was nothing Tristan could do. He played good defense, just great offense beat him. He's pretty light on his feet for a 6'11 guy.
Bill, talk to me about Tyronn Lue. I just get more – I gain more respect for him when I see him at the podium, and I'm wondering, is his biggest strength the fact that he played the game?
Well, I think so, because I think that's the thing with all the players. There are some coaches that have done pretty well, that certainly Popovich, that didn't play in the NBA, but I think it's always a plus, because there's a respect for, they know what the players are going through, and especially I think a player that's not, it wasn't a big star like Ty, because they kind of learn all the tricks and the little things that make a difference. Like, I covered the 76ers when Dr. J was there with Daryl Dawkins and those guys when I worked in Philadelphia. And Billy Cunningham was the coach, and they won a championship with Billy. But Billy had a tough time with average players because they made so many more mistakes than he did, and they didn't see the floor the way he did. And, you know, I think that was one of the surprising things with Larry Bird was – when he coached the Pacers, that he really wasn't that way, that he was a fairly patient guy. But usually great players, expect them, the people they're coaching, to play sort of like how they did, and they just can't.
We got a Kangaroo Kid reference, Google.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
Billy Cunningham was a hell
of a player.
That shows you
how old I am.
I'm kind of with you, but Billy Cunningham was a great player, too, and a great coach. You would probably know if you were covering that team. He didn't coach for very long.
When I think Larry Brown said, it was Gary Williams said he knew he was never going to play in the league when he was at Maryland and Billy Cunningham was at North Carolina, and Billy Cunningham jumped over him when Larry was set up to take a charge. kind of hunkered down to take a charge, and Billy went over him to dunk.
Yeah, Billy was incredibly athletic. We're joined by Bill Livingston, a sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let me ask you this, Bill, just about the mindset of the Cavaliers, because regardless of what happens tomorrow, the one thing that I give Cleveland credit for, because I think they're different than every other team in the league, and that includes the Spurs and the Rockets and the Clippers, it feels like Cleveland thinks they're better than the Warriors, that they control the game against the Warriors and a series because they're the better team. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, because they won the championship, and because they won two of the three in a row came on the Warriors' court. And that hadn't been done in a very long time, I think since 1969, to win two of the last three in the finals on the other team. That wasn't even to win a seventh game in the finals on the other team's court hadn't been done since 1978. And I think it had been done a couple of times, not in the finals, by other teams. Houston was one when Drexler and those guys were there. But it's just an enormous hill that they had to climb. And I think they have a core deep confidence that they can play these guys and handle them, not easily and not without having a very good version of their game, but they think they can beat them.
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot. By the way, Julius Irving, I mean, he doesn't win a title unless Moses Malone comes.
Right, right. Well, that was
unbelievable. That was, that team gets lost in history, but that team was one of the greatest ever, I think.
Well, and they had to go through Boston, and then they always have to play the Lakers in the finals. It was much, much tougher for the Eastern teams because back then the Lakers were in the finals, a number of times in both the 60s and 70s and 80s all over the place in that decade. They were the Western champs.
Yeah, in fact, I was thinking about this the other day, Bill, is
now it's the other way.
Yeah,
Cleveland's
I was thinking,
happy to be east of the Mississippi.
Yeah, Cleveland kind of can waltz into the finals like the Lakers did. They'd play maybe Dallas or somebody like that. Meanwhile, the Celtics and the Bucks
Hard Road.
And the Pistons came later.
They'd be playing Toronto probably, and they know they can beat Toronto. I mean, Toronto's a good club, but they know they can beat them. And Boston gives them trouble because they play them really rough.
Right.
They don't give them any respect, and they get right up in their grills. But they don't. I don't think they have the talent to really take them down over seven games unless there's injuries. Hello, Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Love.
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Good stuff.
Thank you.
All right, that's Bill Livingston, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And I want to touch on a couple things he said. You're listening to Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Daryl the Guru Johnson and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Matt Steinmetz and Daryl, the Guru Johnson. You're not going to believe this, but I may put Lauryn Hill into this group.
No.
I think she's a talented artist.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about easy on the eyes. And yeah, Lauryn's not ugly by any stretch.
Yeah,
that's an ugly word, ugly. But, yeah, she wouldn't make this list.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. I'm here with Daryl, the Guru Johnson. Yeah, Linda Carter.
I was just thinking of her more and more, man.
Guru and I are just throwing around some names of some actresses that we grew up in the day watching, and they, who we maybe remember and who stuck out. And we're just throwing some names around of actresses like Joan Collins. We both had a soft spot for Joan Collins' talent and ability on stage and in front of the camera. Victoria Principal, Linda Evans. We're going back in the day, dating ourselves a little bit. One correction we need to make. Pam Grier, the movie was
Jackie Brown.
I said Foxy Brown.
Oh, so okay.
I
was wrong. that was the rapper. Yeah.
I was wrong about that. Yeah, sorry about that. Pam Grier also in that list.
She's a good follow on Twitter.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, very, I won't say political.
Okay, I'll get on that. Yeah. I'll get on that. And then Lonnie Anderson.
Oh,
nobody brought up Lonnie Anderson.
WKRP.
Yeah, Lonnie Anderson. See, did you watch WKRP?
Yeah,
see,
I was
more of a Bailey fan. Remember Bailey with the glasses?
Yeah, she was.
She.
I can't remember her.
She was kind of the studious,
the square,
nerdy one,
right.
But also with a lot of
you know what I was a
talent.
Sucker for is when the actresses would be real conservative with the little smart glasses and the teacher outfit.
The librarian.
And then when they would, they would have her to take it
nerd!
Off.
The librarian thing.
Yeah, but then when they come out of that mold, you'd be like, as a kid, wow.
Got you. Let's go to Michael in San Francisco. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, man. Matt, Google, you guys sound great this morning, man.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to say, Pam Grier and Angela Bassett.
Ooh, still going strong.
That, if you got to remember, Angela Bassett, she looked like she's 40, but she's like 60 years old, man. Yeah. She looks amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. She does she's a great, one of the best actresses as well, too. But anyway,
yeah.
I wanted to talk about the dude that just called. And I'm going to say this and take it off the air. You can definitely tell from him that the Cavaliers think they have the Warriors' number, and that they feel that they're better than the Warriors, like you stated, man. And that's an interesting position for the Warriors. Haven't been in that position maybe in like 2 years, 2-3 years,
right?
To have a team that we're better than this Warrior team, and from his statements, you can hear that they feel like they have a better team, the better roster, and the best player. Take it off here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Mike. I think you're right. You know what's even more interesting about the Cavaliers is that even if they're not better than the Warriors, if they think they're better than the Warriors, that accomplishes the same thing because it gives them a mentality of playing from strength.
But let me tell you the one individual who thinks he is better than he actually is. And you're going to laugh, Kevin Love. He is so confident and hell-bent on taking it. I still remember him taking that rebound from Azili and putting it right back up and going to the rack. And that Christmas game, Matt, he goes into a place against the Warriors like, I know they need me. This team needs me today.
Right.
And he plays some of his best basketball. So I don't think the Warriors, as crazy as it sounds, again, don't have an answer for him. Tristan Thompson, and like that guy said, sometimes Draymond dwarfs inside, but Draymond had a hell of a game seven, and nobody else showed up.
Unbelievable.
So I got to watch what I'm doing here. And real quick, Matt.
Yeah.
Foxy, Pam Grier, text line. Yeah. She did play in a movie called Foxy Brown.
So there was a Foxy Brown and a Jackie Brown.
Yeah,
you know what?
See?
I think Foxy Brown might have been an original from
And it was the original. That was before Foxy, Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown.
Didn't they call those blaxploitation movies?
Yes, sir. And we had Bill Cosby and
Jim Brown, for sure, was in on that.
Yeah, we had.
I'll tell you who else was.
Sidney Poitier.
The guy who played Shaft.
Yeah, wow.
Richard Roundtree? Richard Roundtree, baby.
I got my first leather, tried to grow the fro.
This from the 925. Do you guys really think the Cavaliers don't realize how fortunate they were in last year's finals? I don't think they consider themselves fortunate. I think they consider themselves as a team that was good enough to get it done.
Matt, it's fortunate.
They had some things go their way, but I don't think they're saying, man, we got lucky last year.
I've never, in my second tour in my 20s, I've never seen somebody come back from the jaws of defeat like the Cleveland Cavs did against the Golden State Warriors. And it was to the point, it was in the record books. You know why, Matt? It's never happened. I'll never get over that. And we had Phil in here last night, Phil Handy. He said, we take it one game at a time. But Matt, they were beaten. The body language, when it was 3-1,
felt that way.
It was over. And that's why what Draymond did or what he started will never, to me, be forgotten ever if this team goes off and wins 5 in a row, Matt. That was a championship that was theirs, and we were going to party on Grand Lake again, and it was going to be back-to-back, and Durant wouldn't be here. I love that he's here, but it changed a whole lot. Harrison Barnes will be here, too.
You might be right about that. Let's go to Ivan in Richmond. Ivan, you want to talk a little NFL? What's going on, man?
Actually, I changed and talk about the Warriors.
Sure, you can talk about whatever you want, my man.
All right. Okay, real quick, I believe the Warriors kind of take Cleveland for granted and it's starting to snowball on them. I mean, the Warriors sometimes, especially right now, they're so gifted and so talented that they just kind of play lackadaisical, and then all of a sudden they know they can just turn it on. And they did the same thing in Cleveland. I believe the Warriors feel like they're the better team. And they know that, but if the Warriors ever 100% just come out, don't look at the scoreboard, we just going to lock you down on defense, and let's just see what happens. They'll beat everybody by 50 points, including, we'll give Cleveland 20 more points. Maybe they just beat them by 30. But they'll dominate. You watch. They're going to come out tomorrow night, and they're going to play dominant defense to prove a point to Cleveland. You are not better.
Thanks for the call, Ivan. I wouldn't bet against the Warriors tomorrow.
I mean, they're
at home. Cleveland's the last game of a trip. It just feels
you
like
lost 4 in a row.
Yeah. Well, that's
national TV. I mean, Barkley's in the house.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, you best believe they better bring their A game.
I didn't even think about
that. Matt, can I just throw this at you real
quick?
Are you more impressed? You got me. I think I'm more impressed that Cleveland walked the Warriors down 14 than the Warriors getting up 14 on Cleveland. I was more impressed by the feat that Cleveland was able to stop them as many times to come back and win, as opposed to what I knew.
See,
the Warriors had that firepower, but to let them come back really bothered me.
I think the Cleveland Cavaliers think, hey.
That's deep.
Hey. We need to shut this team down. We just have to raise the physicality a little bit.
That's
and if we
deep.
Can raise that physicality without fouling, we have an advantage of this team. Jackie Brown was a Tarantino film, not a blaxploitation movie. I was referring
Foxy
to Foxy Brown,
Brown,
the original
the text
Foxy
line, it's
Brown.
It's funny how they'll hear what the,
that's all
the
good.
Input. Yeah.
Nothing but great The 707 wants to know, did we mention the Heathers?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Heather Thomas and Heather Locklear. Yeah, I was more of a Heather Locklear fan. And also, he says, Marky Post. Yeah. Marky Post getting some love here for her acting
skills. Were you a Diane Chambers guy or a Rebecca Howe?
No. You know what? Not really a huge fan of either of them.
Oh, wow.
Neither of them really did a lot
for
me. Marky Post quietly with a cameo on Cheers, though.
Good knowledge.
And Diane was very jealous of her, by the way. Another name we've got here, Tanya Roberts. The name sounds familiar, but what was she in?
I remember
we're looking at two 25-year-old guys. They got no, who's Tanya Roberts?
Rihanna?
No clue.
Rihanna?
Tanya Roberts had a very popular poster, I believe.
Tanya
back in the
Roberts.
Day too. Yeah, she was an
and
actress.
Lieutenant, is it Uhuru from Star Trek? That she, the one she was really.
Oh, you're going deep,
oh,
man.
Yeah, she was.
I wasn't a Star Trek fan.
Oh yeah, I was. Yeah,
were you?
Yeah, you can see why. But yeah, that was big. James. Yeah, William Shatner.
All right, we're talking about the best female actresses of the 70s and 80s. If you want to jump in here, and also if you want to talk a little Warriors, a little NFL, we're jumping around, having a good time. Getting you ready for tomorrow's Cleveland Cavaliers versus Golden State Warriors game at Oracle Arena. Again, that's a 5 o'clock start. Coverage starts right here on 95.7 The Game at 3:30. And if you want to jump into it super early, I will be along with Bonte Hill from Oracle Arena tomorrow, 12 to 3. And we'll get you all set up for Golden State Warriors basketball. We'll take a look at today's NFL games, one of which is just starting, and apparently Tanya Roberts took over as the last of the Charlie's Angels.
Oh.
And she was also featured in the movie Tarzan. We're taking the text lines.
Now I know who
she is. We're taking that information as gospel. So if you get a text, we really ask you to be right because we don't have all the answers. All right. I'll be back with Daryl the Guru Johnson on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Daryl the Guru Johnson and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson. And remember, you can catch the Verizon Warriors warm-up with Damon Bruce 90 minutes before every Warrior game. Verizon Warriors warm-up built by Dolan's Lumber Doors and Windows and only on your new home of the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game. Coverage for tomorrow's Golden State Warriors-Cleveland Cavaliers game begins at 3:30. We have been jumping around all day today. We've been talking some NFL. We're obviously talking a lot of Cavs-Warriors. We're also turning back the time a little bit and mentioning some of our favorite actresses from back in the day, women who were extremely talented in television or on the big screen, and just some people we want to pay tribute to that we kind of remember when we were growing up. So,
stage presence.
Yeah,
you know?
Stage presence is what it's at. And we've got a couple more here that I want to mention. Shannon Tweed. Shannon Tweed. You remember her at all?
That was...
She ended up, I believe, being Gene Simmons' wife of Kiss.
But she was
also in a lot of... you'd call them classic-type movies, A-list-type movies. Just a wonderful actress. And also from the text line, this is a good one, Catherine Ross. Now, he says she was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which I have no reason not to believe him. I remember Catherine Ross, of course, from The Graduate.
Oh, okay.
That was the one Dustin Hoffman liked
after
he had a little dalliance with her mother. If you
I get where you're
watch
going.
The Graduate. Plastics.
What about
is the
Phoebe
big one.
Cates, too?
Phoebe Cates.
Wow.
Interesting with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I would say that she's just a little after the group we're talking,
right,
but that doesn't mean you can bring that.
Almost
doesn't mean,
millennial, huh? Almost
that doesn't mean you can't bring those type of women up. We had Angela Bassett, Adrienne Barbeau, of course, Joan Collins, Linda Evans, Victoria Principal, Cheryl Ladd. You know, these women didn't get enough credit for their acting ability. Linda Lavin. No.
Alice.
No.
Okay. Kiss My Chris. That was Flo.
We're trying to just honor the women who didn't get the attention they deserve for their acting ability. And I think we're hitting on a lot. Raquel Welch, of course.
Oh, man.
Pam
Jim Brown had a love scene with
Lonnie
her.
Lonnie Anderson. And if you want to have some fun along with us and give us some suggestions, Jane Fonda from obviously Barbarella and Clute.
Yeah, Jane was she wasn't bad. You know, it didn't do it for me.
Gotcha. Let's go to Oscar in Fairfield. What's going on, Oscar?
Guys, hey, I wanted to share my just my top three women in the Warriors real quick.
Okay.
Barbara Eden when she was I Dream of Jeannie.
Okay.
Erin Gray, I was like falling in love with her.
Erin Gray.
Was that Dallas or Dynasty?
Buck Rogers. You know, bitty.
Okay.
And then of course Marianne in the Gilligan Island.
Yeah. And, I can't remember her real name, but it was always
hot. She makes it.
Her real name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it was either Ginger or Marianne. Yeah. You either liked one or the other or both.
Both, yeah. I was a both guy.
Were you?
Oh, man, they were all good. The Warriors, I truly believe they're going to be more aggressive tomorrow. I think KD and Steph are going to be more aggressive going to the hole to get these fouls called. And I believe we're going to win by double digits and hold on to it this time. That's what I truly feel. So I look forward to the game tomorrow. Y'all take it easy, fellas.
Thanks a lot, Oscar. I'm with you. I think the Warriors handle the Cavs tomorrow. I think they win solidly. I don't think they blow them out, and I don't think it's not going to be a game. But I just think the Warriors are due to play a really good game against Cleveland and kind of even out things, if you will, and take a little of that psychological edge away from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And I think the schedule makers, you know, this is a blessing in disguise because the fallout from the Draymond and KD thing comes at a perfect time. That could have happened, and Cleveland could have been in the rearview mirror. The fact that now we're going to see, I know for sure, a more assertive Steph Curry, I think it bodes well for them.
Kim Basinger.
Oh, man.
Kim Basinger.
Oh, she
was nine and a half weeks with Mickey Rourke.
That was before its time. That was the first of what it started. Yeah.
She also was in, L.A. Story or Confidential. L.A. Confidential?
Yeah. Look at
her. She was great in that. She was in The Natural. She's a great actress.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan. Kim Basinger's.
Her stage.
She's high on my list of favorite actresses. Valerie Bertinelli. Valerie Bertinelli.
Not bad, man. Not bad.
There were a lot. You know what? There were a lot of young men at the time who really liked her because of her hair.
She had that hair at a time.
She had that hair that kind of waved out. It was parted in the middle. Yeah. Everybody kind of thought she was a cutie pie. What about Judith Light?
Was that one day at a time? Man, look at you. You got
Judith Light. She made her name in soap opera fame.
Yeah.
Soap opera fame. All right, Jeff in Oakland wants to talk a little Warriors. What's going on, Jeff?
I have 2 points. Good afternoon, guys. 2 points, one major, one minor. The major point, stop objectifying women. It's disgusting. It's disingenuous for you guys to say you're naming these women because of their acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sexist, all right? That's point number one. I want you to take that to heart. Take it to heart. Don't try to disguise it. Apologize. All right? Secondly, Cleveland's coming to town, yes, and they're going to win. Although the Warriors can't beat them, and that's just the end of it. I'm not a hater, but I just recognize the talent that Cleveland has. Thanks for taking my call.
Now, here's the real story, Guru. Are we objectifying women? Objectifying women by mentioning the actresses that have stayed with us as we watched them as a child? We haven't said anything crude.
Paying homage.
We haven't said anything crude. We haven't said anything even remotely suggestive. We're having a fun time about acting ability.
This is great.
I don't think we're hurting anybody. This is one of those things that, with all due respect, Jeff, I'll go back home today and talk to my wife. We have 3 kids, all girls, and I'll see what she has to say about it.
And you text me, and please let me know. I'll do the same.
We haven't made one comment about their physical appearance.
I think it's
one of those things where we've. I don't even think we're tiptoeing around it. We're talking about, you know what? You want to go to actors too? You want to talk about guys we remember? Burt Reynolds.
Larry
is somebody.
Hagman.
Larry Hagman. I remember him. Tony Danza, of course. Tony Danza was a big time actor in One Day at a Time. Him and Judith Light. They held that show down for a while. Tom Selleck. Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
What was the store? What was the one with the fancy car? Knight Rider.
Michael Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Kit. Wasn't it? No, Cat. I forget the name of the car.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because as a father of three daughters, I think I'm pretty sensitive to the objectification of women. I'm not sure if I've done it. I'm really interested in talking about my wife about that.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing is, back in the day, in the 70s and 60s, for the most part, in order to get on TV and the movies back then, you probably were attractive.
That's what it was, Matt. That is what it was. You are right.
Kind of took a little esteem away, though. Here's that old adage, do you let somebody yuck your yum?
He was a fuddy duddy.
But
it came from understanding.
Yeah, okay. If there are any women out there, talking about some women that have stuck with us over the years, actresses, sitcoms, or movies.
I'm a woman, and you guys are doing fine by me.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Gotcha. I appreciate it, Jeff. But I think we're walking a fine line on the right side of that line. I think it's fun. I don't think we're hurting anybody. And one day at a time, Judith. I was wrong on one day at a time. See, this is why I think it's fun.
Okay.
It was Who's the Boss? Judith Light was Who's the Boss?
It was
Tony Danza. It was Judith Light, and of course, it was Alyssa Milano as the daughter.
Yeah, but that was almost after. A little bit after.
But it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to.
We love the participation.
Yeah, it's okay that we can go into the more modern if our listeners are a little younger. Just keep it to acting. That's what we're doing. We're keeping it to the performance on the big screen.
What about Amber Theisman, Marsha Brady?
No, Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, dear.
I think she was Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell, right? With Zach and Screech. Hollywood? Was it 90210?
I didn't.
90210?
No, that was
Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
90210? I think she came later on that, though, Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yes, it's a different era, because we're starting at almost like at the beginning.
But who was Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell? I think it's Saved by the Bell with Screech and Elizabeth Berkley. Elizabeth Berkley was also in Saved by the Bell. She later did a movie, Showgirls, which was a little bit risque.
Racy.
Very racy. In fact, that was one of the first movies that was a PG-17.
Yeah.
Remember they had PG and then R.
Still do, yeah, the 13.
No, or is it R?
It's R and then PG-13.
Yeah.
That's all we got now.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the one where nobody under 17, no matter what. NC-17.
Oh.
Isn't that what it was called?
NC-17? I've never heard that one.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to do what we want. We're going to talk a little Warriors. We're going to talk some NFL football. We're going to talk about our favorite actors and actresses from back in the day. And also, joining us at 2:30, Dave Feldman. He's a sports anchor at Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. You're listening to Steinmetz and the Guru, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.